Lugach, the big stout rapmarch, made his way to the head of the marching rapscallions, pointing as he came level with Damag Warfang.
See, First Blade, fire's burning on that ridge in the distance.
The great rat kept his gaze locked on the trio of smoke columns, rising against the distant sky.
I saw them a while back. Send Henbit to me.
Henbit was a wily-looking rapmarch officer. He appeared at Damag's side with scarcely a sound.
My Dinis, you wanted to see me.
Aye, listen now. Take a score of trackers, good ones who are able to hide and run silent. Get over to that ridge. Look for a rock like an otter's tail and see how many are waiting for us there. Then check the valley. It should have a rift running along the far side of it. Take care that you are not seen. Go.
Damag was confident that he could win. Who else could put an army of 1,000 in the field? Where in all the country east of Salamandassan was any serious force of fighters to be found? As he strode at the head of his powerful force, Damag planned ahead. He had learned the lesson of overconfidence from his father, Gormad Tun, when they attacked Salamandassan with disastrous results. Though this battle would be different and his opponents fewer, that was no reason not to take precautions. He would split the army into two groups, sending them into the valley from both ends in a pincer movement. This would catch any of the enemy who were lying in wait on the valley floor and prevent the rapscallions being outflanked. Those red wallers had a harsh lesson in death coming to them. Red Wall. When the abbey was his, he would change its name. Fort Damag. That had a good sound to it. His name would live forever when the place was mentioned in far seasons to come. Fort Damag. Tales would be told of how he defeated the foe on open ground and took the abbey without disturbing a stone. A keen-eyed squirrel, one of the friends from Mossflower Wood, stood erect on top of the standing rock. Shading both eyes with a paw, he scanned all round. The way in which he halted, tail erect and head thrust forward, told Lieutenant Morio that he had spotted something. Morio hailed him.
What ho there, lookout! Any sign of movement?
Holding his position, the squirrel called back.
Dust cloud coming out of the southeast. Too faint yet to see much.
Morio's long face lit up momentarily.
Keep your eye on it, bucko. Looks like our visitors are on their flipping way. Report if you note any change.
The big pine trunk had become a kind of social gathering place. Hares, mice, hedgehogs, shrews, moles and squirrels grouped about it when they were off duty. Perigord sat scratching his initials into the wood as he listened to Mario's report.
That sounds like the blighters, right enough. When do you think we can expect them to arrive?
Can't say, sir. Have to wait on the lookout's report.
The major winked at his waiting warriors.
Well, whenever it is, we'll give the blackguards a warm welcome, eh?
Ribald comments greeted this statement.
Aye, we'll feed them a nice hot supper of cold steel.
Ha ha, we'll wrap the scallions for them.
Give the villains rock cakes served with spear points.